Would you open your Bibles this morning to the book of Deuteronomy again there, Deuteronomy chapter number 6. As we read this morning, you're going to go back to Ephesians today. Thank you for that. Until that day. That'll keep us motivated. Somebody say amen. Amen. That day is coming. It's a real day. And the day that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and get his own. Are you one of his own? That's the real question right there. It's not the question of whether or not he's coming. The question is, are you one of his? And what a blessing it is to be a child of God. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 this morning. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And I know we read it just a minute ago. I'll just read a few verses of it. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And then we'll go to the book of Ephesians in a minute. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 today. How many of you understand that God has something to say to us this morning?
Amen.
Amen. God has something to say to us. God has something to say to you. I'm talking about to you. Not just to the church. But you are the church. He has something to say to you specifically. It's amazing how God can take his word and he can apply it as only the Holy Spirit can to each individual as we need. When I answered God's call or re-answered God's call to preach in my life, the sermon that I answered in was not a sermon on service or Christian service. In fact, it was on a Sunday morning. And I'm not even sure what the message was about. I know it wasn't about surrendering to the Lord. I know it wasn't about God's call on your life. I wasn't normally in the Sunday morning service. I was normally teaching junior church. And I was in high school. I ran a bus ministry and taught junior church at our church right there. And a blessing had happened in my life. My martial arts instructor, who had been a Buddhist, and I had been witnessing to him for over 15 years, he came to Christ and he got saved. Amen. And he's a saved, godly man today and loves the Lord. And so I went to go see him get baptized. And the church where he got baptized, they had an earlier service, and I had got somebody to cover my junior church. And so I came back, and he got baptized, and what a blessing that was. And he got baptized. I came back into the service, and I walked into the door. And I know some of y'all are going to think this is charismatic. It's not charismatic. God got all over me. The Holy Spirit convicted me like 100 pounds, just dropped a brick on me and hit me hard. Amen. And I walked in those doors, and the Lord said, "You're mine. You're mine. You better do what I've been telling you to do. I'm not going to talk to you about it no more." And I went and sat down. I don't know what the preaching was about. I really cannot tell you what the sermon was about. But I was afraid that if I walked out, and I was convinced of it. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't want to find out. I was convinced that if I walked out those doors that day, I was going to be a dead man. God had told me that he wanted me to preach. And I had answered a call to preach as a younger boy. And had preached and had told people about Jesus. And I'd lost my fire and different things were going on. That really doesn't matter. But that day, I don't know what that sermon was about, to be honest with you, but God spoke to me and got a hold of me and confirmed his call in my life. And I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll come down. I'll do whatever you say." I really was sitting in a pew afraid that God was going to kill me if I walked out and take me home, because if I wasn't going to be no good for him, what good am I? Somebody say amen. The salt has lost its savor. The Bible says it's nothing good to be thrown out. So today I'm not saying that you're going to need to be scared to death, all right? That's not what I'm saying to you this morning. I'm simply saying this, that even though we're talking about parenting, specifically about child rearing this morning and focusing on the family and the dare to discipline, God will speak to you. God will speak to you. God brought conviction in Nathaniel's life last week on a parenting sermon. Somebody say, "Amen." That's how God can do it. And all I want to just ask you this morning is that you don't just come to church ready to get out, but you come in church, let God get a hold of you and do something with your life and change it. Would you say amen and amen? Deuteronomy chapter number 6. "These are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it." How many of you understand that truth, doctrine, always has application? God gives us things not just so we'll know them, but so we'll do them. God tells us, "This is what I want you to do." Not so you got head knowledge, but so that your feet and your hands and your mouth and your mind and everything else get in action for him. Amen. "This is my commandments. This is what I'm telling you. So you'll go out and do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes." If this is your Bible, you might want to underline that. All his statutes. God wants complete obedience. Complete obedience. Those who are completely obedient enjoy the complete blessings of God. Amen. I mean, the complete goodness of God. I mean, that's just the bottom line. "Which I command thee." Look what he says. "I want you to learn all these things and do all these things. And you fear the Lord. Keep his statutes, which I command thee, thou and thy son And read this next four words with me. Ready? Begin. And thy son's son. He said, hey, I'm telling you this. Moses said, I'm telling you this. I want y'all to know it so you'll do it. I want your kids to know it so they'll do it. And I want your kids to know it so well, and if you're still around, that your grandkids do it too. Amen. Amen. I want it to go far is what God is saying. I want what I'm teaching you, I want it to travel a long road on this earth. I want people to walk it. I want people to live it. I don't want it to stop with you. I want it to go on down further. I want it to go generationally. Somebody give me an amen right there. Working with our young people this morning, we had a good time on what is truth. We'll look at truth. And then we talked about some convictions. And we talked about standards. And we're figuring out what that means and the differences and those things. But why? Because I don't want our young people to simply be good, God-fearing young people in the youth group. I want them to be good, God-fearing young people as you do, parents, all the days of their life. Amen. And so God says, and through Moses, Moses says, I want it to go all the way down to thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Now he's speaking to everybody. He's saying, go individual, now it's to everybody. Hear it, O therefore, Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. And I'm just going to pause right there. We'll get perhaps back to verses number 6 in just a minute. But God makes the correlation of obedience and blessing. He makes the correlation of doing what he says and things going well with you. And I'm not a very complicated man. In fact, I like simple things. Here's what God says. Do it my way and do it a long way and it'll be okay. It'll work out good. You can possess the land and it'll be well with thee. How many of you say amen right there? We affirm that today. Now go with me back to the book of Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. The parents were to teach the laws and the statutes and the truth of God's word to their children and to their children's children. You see, sin, everybody says, is sin generational? It can be. I can tell you that much. The effects of it can go a long way. But you know, truth can be too. Amen. Righteous behavior can be generational. Did you know that? Amen. Amen. You hear this morning, you say, I wasn't raised like that. I'm a first generation Christian. Well, praise the Lord. Now you're just changing the family tree. You putting things on the right way. Amen. You say, I don't know if I can do that. You got breath right now? You got life right now? You got the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of you? You got the Word of God? Then you can do it, my brother and sister. You can do it. Don't you ever succumb to the fact that this is who we are, the kind of people we are, and the things we are. You let God's Word do what God's Word can do. You just obey it. You just do it. And the Bible says this, it'll be well with you. I want things to be well with me. I want things to be well with me. It doesn't mean things always be easy. You remember when I'm forgetting her name, but when she lost her baby and Elijah coming to her, she said, is it well? She said, it's well. Now, it wasn't well. Her baby was dead, but she knew God was on the throne and God could do some things. And I'm telling you what it means to be, it's well with your soul. It simply means this, that God is working in, through, and for you. And there are blessings that are attached with that. There is protection that is attached with that. And I want God's protection, provision all around my family. I want God's hedge of protection upon my family this morning. I want God's hedge of protection upon this church this morning. Amen. And so the Bible makes a correlation. Know God's word, do God's word, teach God's word, live God's word, and God will work in your life on behalf of that. Somebody say amen. I want my kids to know the claims that God has on their life. That they're His. They belong to Him. That He started them. Before they were in the belly, God knew them. Amen. You say, I thought you and your wife brought them children about. God brought my children about. God gave me the specific children that I have. I won't get into the biology of it this morning, but there were a lot of possibilities of which child showed up on this earth. And God specifically gave me four. I got one on the way in case you didn't know. Anytime. God gave me them specifically. Amen. He formed them. He gave them. I want them to know the claims that God has on their life. I want them to fear God all their days. I want to shape their hearts for a willingness to please God and obey Him. That's my goal of parenting. I don't know what God's going to do with my kids. But I want to get them as a parent. My job is to get them to the place where they fear God, love God, they keep His commandments. It's the whole duty of man. And then their hearts are receptive and open to God's will, and they want to not only know it, but they want to do it, and they want to live it, and they want to stay in it. That's my goal for parenting. You see, that's a lofty goal. It's a goal bigger than anything I can do personally. But I got God's Word. Somebody say amen. I got some tools and some resources. More importantly, I've got a great God in heaven who's going to help me. He's going to help you do it. Amen. But it don't just happen. It doesn't just happen. Kids don't just live for God. Just like people don't just live for God. It's intentional. There's got to be information. There's got to be transformation. There's got to be all kinds of things. We pick it up in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. We've seen over the last couple of weeks two outcomes. There's two outcomes of your parenting strategy. You are either provoking your children to wrath or discouraging them, as the Bible says, or you are raising them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You're either parenting in such a way, your parenting strategy is in such a way that even though you might be pulling all your heart into it, and even though you might be well-intentioned about it, that you are going to elicit a wrong response out of that. I know a lot of people want to say, well, that's not my responsibility. I'm not responsible for that. But the Bible says in chapter 6, verse 4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Yes, you can have a hand. Somebody say amen. You can have a hand in messing up your kids. You ain't going to have a hand in that. I know that's not popular, but the Bible says don't provoke them to wrath. He said, well, they're my kids. They just need to learn to shut up and do what I say. Be very careful about that. You need not to provoke them to wrath. You go look over the last couple of weeks at the different things that provoke them to wrath. I encourage you to look at those things and to go back to a couple of sermons ago, even last week's sermon, and say, what is it that provokes children to wrath? What is it that elicits the kind of response from them that even though you've got them in church, even though you're feeding them and clothing them and you're directing them, maybe you even got them in a Christian school, amen, or maybe you're homeschooling them, maybe you're doing all those good things, but you can provoke children to wrath. Well, that's one option, but it's not the option I want. I'd rather bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'd rather do it that way. We'll look at some things this morning. Father, help us now. What a privilege and a joy this morning to sit at the bottom of those steps down at the fellowship hall and to watch these young people and these children just pour in the doors from outside. Lord, what a blessing that was. Myself and another brother just standing there looking at the blessing, and he remarked, look at all those wonderful children. And Lord, what a privilege, what a heritage they are. Lord, I couldn't help but think about their futures as the teenagers came in, and then some of those middle schoolers, and then some of them little ones, Lord, and first and second grade and kindergartners came in behind them. I couldn't help but think 10, 20, and 30 years down the road, praying, God, that they're still living for You. Now, Lord, help us to do our part. Help us to do it Your way and raise children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We will thank You for it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. There are three tenets of child rearing we find in this passage. Tenet number one was nurture. Nurture. Bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. Nurture. I won't spend much time on it again today. I want you to go back on that one, but let me just simply read these things. Affirmation, identity, acceptance, heritage, generosity, significance in the home. These kids need that kind of nurturing. Did you know that? Your child doesn't... I know there's an old philosophy that said, well, you know, we have kids and, you know, they're better seen than not heard, and I got all that, learning how to act and all those kinds of things. But God didn't give you kids to put them off in a corner and not do anything with them. Amen? They are a heritage of the Lord. In fact, if things are too quiet in my house, I get nervous. Amen. I need to hear some noise, because if it gets quiet, somebody's getting a haircut they're not supposed to be getting. Something's getting painted that wasn't supposed to be painted. Or something getting glued, or somebody's getting glued that wasn't supposed to be glued. I need to hear some noise in my life. Amen. I don't want them kids over there. They are significant. God didn't give them to me so I could have them and say, don't bother me. Amen. God didn't give me kids for me to sit there and say, okay, now, here you are. I brought you in. Now, go over. I fed you dinner. Now, go over in the corner. Leave me alone. And somebody give me an amen right there. Amen. That's not why God gave me kids. He didn't give me kids to make them feel insignificant in my home. They're a very special part of our lives. Very special part of them. They are an absolute treasure. Would you say amen right there? They're treasure. So they need to understand their significance. You need to understand their personality. Your kids are different. God made them different, and that's okay. They've got different personalities. You may not, are you ready for this one? You may not like your kid's personality. It may not mesh with yours. You still have to nurture that. Amen. You might have one that's your carbon copy, and you might have 8 or 9 or another one that's not. You can't be more nurturing to the one that's your carbon copy, and the other one, treat them at a distance like, you know, like they're helping the house or something like that. Amen. Come on now. Y'all with me this morning? Amen. We got a that was a little weak sauce today. I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter what their personality is. You have a responsibility to nurture them.
Amen.
Amen. I'll preach myself this morning. Bring them up in the nurture. That's tenet number one, nurturing. Nurture gets me into the heart of my child. Nurturing keeps me in the heart of the child. Nurture keeps my heart and my child's heart attached. My son, give me thy heart. Will my son or my daughter be glad to give me their heart if I'm nurturing them? I'm going to feed that heart. I'm going to love that heart. I'm going to mold that heart. I'm going to be at their... they got to know that mommy and daddy got their very best interests are right behind them in their back end corner right there and will do anything they can to help them live for Jesus. Somebody say amen right there. I'm going to nurture my kids. I'm going to nurture them. Then the second tenet, I got to spend a little time on it this week. I did something this week I've never done before in my whole life. I did something this week I've never done. I listened to myself preach a whole sermon. I've never done that. I hear myself and I think, oh, that voice. Oh, my goodness gracious. What is going on over here? And I think of these poor people and I think of all the different things that I stutter over and I repeat. And I don't normally listen to myself. But I went back last week and I listened to last Sunday morning sermon specifically about the part where we're dealing with discipline. And when I mean discipline, I mean spanking.
Amen.
Amen. I went back and listened to that. And I said, I agree with everything I said.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I got nothing to apologize for on that one. I want to go back to it again. I want to deal with this issue of discipline. The tenet number two is admonishment. I got to bring them up in nurture, but the other part of that is admonishment. Admonishment involves several things. Admonishment can be verbal. There's part of that.
Amen.
Amen. And so don't just think that when the Bible says admonishment, it's just talking about the only way to deal with your children is to whoop them. All right? That is part of it. Admonishment is verbal. And there are other parts of that and different things about that. But specifically, we're going to focus in on this issue of what many people like to call corporal punishment, or what I call raising kids right. Amen? What I call raising kids right. Do you remember the diagnostic of all kids? All kids on the planet. Every kid that's ever been born, and even your sweethearts, all right, even your children, here's the diagnostic. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. We have got to start with that basis that every child, no matter how sweet they are, no matter how much they've got their mommy's eyes and their daddy's nose and all these different things, they do not. They're 3 weeks old. They ain't got nothing, all right? They don't like none of y'all. But the bottom line is, except my little girl might look like me maybe, but I'm looking at that little sweet thing, and I've got to remember, I'm starting off with foolishness bound up in the heart of the child. Our children do not start because you didn't start this way. We don't start off righteous and gradually get wicked. We start off wicked and let God make us righteous. We've got to say, amen. That's where much of our psychology is off today. It starts off with the premise that man is good and his influences have made him bad. No, man is bad and he influences for bad. Amen. That's where we all start. But the bottom line is your children, that sweet little one that cuddled up on you this week, that loved on you, gave you a sweet little card and said, look at what I drew for you. And you can't tell what it is, but isn't that nice? And you lie in Jesus' name. So, hello. Oh, that's the most beautiful thing that somebody's ever seen. And you just whatever like that. There's foolishness bound up in the heart of that child. And if you don't deal with that foolishness becomes adult foolishness. It becomes mature foolishness. It becomes the kind of foolishness that you look around in the world you're living in today and recognize, nope, not enough people got their whoopings.
Amen.
Amen. Not enough people got their whoopings. You don't like the word whooping, that's fine. I'll use the biblical word, beatings. Amen. You say, now don't you think beating like MMA beating. That's not what the Bible says. We're going to talk about how, where, why, and when you should discipline this morning. I hope it'll be very, very practical to you, but I just got to remind you, foolishness is bound up in the heart of your child. Amen. See, nurture is the heart of child rearing. It allows you the heart of your child, but admonition allows you to drive something out of their heart. Amen. Nurture gets you into the heart. Admonition drives it out of the heart. I want to read these verses. I read them last week. I'm going to read them again. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 13 and 24. I love my children too much to spank them. That's not what the Bible said. And let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. I love my children too much to spank them. No, you need to love them enough to spank them. Chasten, Proverbs 19, thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. That Bible verse teaches me very clearly, you got a window of opportunity for this form of correction. You got a window. There will come a point, I don't know if I get to it today, when physical discipline, you've missed it. You've missed it. It would be too late for it. There is a certain time when the mind is young and the heart is still tender that you have room to tender it while there is hope. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. Proverbs 23, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell.
Amen. Amen.
Deliver his soul from hell. I'm talking about a living hell. Amen. I'm talking about making decisions that'll make their lives a living hell and everybody else around them.
Yep.
Deliver them from hell. Proverbs chapter 29, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Remember, foolishness is bound up. The rod and reproof give wisdom. It didn't say time out. Amen. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You just let them raise themselves. You just let them go on about their way. They're going to bring you to shame. Am I in the church this morning? Where did I end up? Am I at the mausoleum? Where are we at this morning? I'm just telling this what the Bible says. Amen. It's what the Bible says. Correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Oh, they got the terrible twos. They don't have to have it. You don't have to have a little Napoleon Dynamite, run around Bonaparte, be a little tyrant in your house, running everything. Well, that's just a little phase they're going through. We'll get them out of that phase real quick. Hello? Your children can give you delight. You can actually enjoy having kids. Novel truth here today. You know why the world's so against having kids? They don't know how to raise them. They're not delights. It's hell in the home, it's madness in the home, and they can't figure it out. So, it's just better not to have them. No, it's great to have them. They're a heritage of the Lord. You just got to raise them and train them up the right way.
Amen.
Somebody say amen right there. Do you know some people are better at training their dogs than they are their kids?
Amen.
Hello? Their dog can go in, go out. They know when to do, when not to do, what not to eat, what not to touch, what not to chew, who not to bite. Your kids don't even know that. Here they come. Come here, I said. Come here, kid. You can't tell. You say, that's mean-spirited. I know. But it's the truth. There are better trained animals than there are kids. What a shame. What a shame. I got a puppy dog. Amen. I got a dog. I like dogs. I'm not anti-you. You say, you're anti-animal. I'm not anti-animal. I just don't want your kids to act like them. Your kids don't have to be the one when, like, the dentist, the menace. When they come in and say, oh, Lord, batten up everything. Here they come. Your kid doesn't have to be that kid. He said, well, they're a real spitfire. Honey, I know what it's like to have one that's a spitfire. I've got maybe one or two. I know what it's like to have one that's strong-willed, willful. I got one like that. You say, which one is it? None of your business, all right? But I don't have to, I'm going to use the word, excuse me, I don't have to have a hellraiser in my home.
Amen.
I can shape them heaven's way.
Amen.
And they can live for God and we can have delight and rest in the home.
Amen.
Amen. That's all free in introduction here. So here, I'm going to read all those things just to make this point. If you do not spank your kids, you are not raising them biblically.
Amen.
If you do not do it, You are not raising them biblically. You say, preacher, I don't like what you said. Everything I just read wasn't what I said. That's what God said.
Amen.
Now, you're going to have to make up a decision this morning whether God's truth is eternal or is it just situational and whether it's cultural.
Come on.
I have taken the fact from Genesis to Revelation that God's word is always right, always will be right, and is still truth for today.
Amen.
Amen. So if God said it worked then God says it'll work now. If God said it was right then it's right now. If God said to do it then I should be doing it now.
Amen.
Well, that don't apply to my kid. Okay. So let me give you a couple things here. We're just going to go rather quickly. Preacher speak. With what should we be spanking? The Bible said a rod. A rod. He said, what kind of rod? A dowel rod will work. A PVC pipe will work. He said, that's terrible. No. No. And by the way, I'm going to get to it in just a minute. But no, the Bible said a rod. I don't use my hands to spank my kids.
Amen.
These are hands of nurture.
That's right.
These hands are nurture. I don't say, besides, they're getting, you know, I like my hands. They're tender now. Amen. I've been turning pages instead of shovels for so long. My hands are tender now. But the Bible says to use an implement to spank your kids. That don't mean barbed wire. That don't mean wire. Amen. Something that inflicts, are you ready for this? I'm sorry to tell you, sweetheart. Something that inflicts pain. It inflicts pain. They feel it and they know it. It can be a spatula. It can be a spoon, a wooden spoon. But a rod is good. Are y'all ready for this? You're going to say that online? Sure, why not? It can be a section of water hose. He said, that'll sting. Yeah, honey, that's right. It'll sting. The goal isn't simply to... You ever watch? I watch sometimes parents now. Don't do that. I hug harder than that. Amen. The Bible doesn't say just find, go off in a rage and pick up something close by and beat them with it. I believe in every home, I'm just going to be very practical with you. I believe in every home there ought to be one special tool for one special purpose.
Amen.
That one special tool is for one special purpose of spanking your children. I won't have time to go into it, but my wife's family are all Filipino, and I didn't realize when I got into the family that I was also involved in the child rearing of all them kids. I didn't understand how that culture dynamic worked, but everybody's involved in keeping everybody straight, and I kind of like it, quite frankly. Well, we had some issues, so I went down to the Lowe's, and I went down, and I got myself a little wooden rod, a dowel rod. And I said, this is a dowel rod. I do not want to use it, but I will. And I put it up where it was semi-conspicuous in a spot. And you believe it or not, when it was used correctly. Nobody today's in a wheelchair. Nobody today's mad. And by the way, I encourage you to check out my relationship with my nieces and nephews. I love them dearly. They love my wife dearly and revere her. But every time something would start to get squirrely, you could see a kid's eyes go. It was just sitting on top of a bookshelf just enough you could see half of it. Why? The rod driveth it away. Amen. Look, I never want to hurt my children, but discipline hurts. Because you know what? The reproofs of life hurt worse.
Right.
The reproofs of life hurt worse. Those of you that are averse to spanking right now are probably averse to spanking because your parents did it the wrong way in the wrong spirit.
Right.
With the wrong attitude and the wrong intentions.
That's right.
They spanked you when they were angry. They spanked you when they were inconvenienced.
Yeah.
Wrong ways to spank.
That's right.
Amen. They spanked you. And just let you have it on the face and on the ears and on the back and all over the body. That's not what the Bible says to do.
That's right.
There is a special place for that rod. Timed perfectly. Laid out perfectly. Everybody's got one. All right? And the Bible says you spank them and you lay it right on the rear end. It is the seat of correction. Somebody say amen right there. With what should we be spanking our children? The Bible said a rod. When should we begin physical discipline? Right now. Don't wait until they're three. That's too late. It is too late. When should we begin? When they can express will. Mm-mm. They may not be able to talk, but they can express will. throw that bottle. Years ago, we had some friends of ours that were still living in the area, and they watched our children one night. And they came back, and my friend, who we had gone to college together, we had been a roommate together, and my friend said, "That is your son." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." And he said, we were eating supper, and one of them was still in a high chair, and he got some juice he didn't like. And so he took it, and he chucked the bottle across the room. And it was a good throw, but anyway, it was impressive, all right. But the wife brought it back, and he did drink it, but then he got rid of the bottle. And then she gave him a cookie. He ate the cookie, and he could barely talk. But she was in the kitchen, and he said, "Cookie, now!" And he hit the little thing right there. I said, "Well, what'd you do?" They gave him another cookie. I said, "You should have given him something else." Amen. Amen. That shouldn't have gone on right there, but they were just trying to do whatever like that one. But I want to tell you something. He wasn't 2 years old when he did that. But if I'd have been there, that would have been dealt with. There would not been another cookie coming. Amen. You can start a smack on the hand, and you can start then to the bottom, but not at 2 years old. That's too late. Oh, you say, can they run from you? Then you better be able to handle it. Amen. Amen. Can they scoot from you? You ever watch a child scoot? Come here. And they move all their little hands and knees. They move on all over there. That is willful disobedience, and it's time for some discipline. I could never do that. You better do it now while there is hope. Amen. Amen. I'm winning. This is great. I'll not get elected mayor, but that's okay. I'm not running for office. Amen. When should we begin? Amen. I'll run on that platform. The discipline platform. That'll go great. What should we be spanking them for? Let me run through these very quickly. Last week I gave you three. I meant to give you four. I left one out. But let me give you this. Four D's of discipline. First one is disrespect. That includes back talk, pouting, fit throwing, hitting, kicking, spitting, throwing items. That's disrespectful. I'll never forget being in church here. This was several years ago. A guy was come here and he had his children. I was talking with one of our other men. He told his child, "You can't go outside." That child hauled off and kicked him right in the shin. That wasn't a 2-year-old. That was about a 5-year-old kid. Kicked him right in the shin. He didn't do nothing. I looked at the brother. I looked at him. I thought, "My belt or yours?" Maybe he didn't have one. Oh, don't do that. That was disrespect. If you can hit if a child can hit you when they're 5, what do you think they'll do when they're 16? What do you think they'll do when they're 17? What do you think they'll do when they're 18? What do you think they're going to do to their teachers in school? What do you think is going to happen here? Why? They've not been taught respect. And so we as a family have a parameter. Number one, you disrespect your authorities and it's spanking. Amen. Fit throwing. I can't imagine. If you reward your kid when they throw a fit, you're destroying their life. Okay, just stop. I'll do whatever you want. Just don't do that. You've just rewarded disrespectful behavior. Disrespect. Back talking. I'm not a perfect child. My grandma would tell you I am, amen, but I wasn't a perfect child. My Aunt Connie would definitely tell you I am. But I can tell you this, I'm sure I disrespected my parents once or twice, but I wouldn't have dared done it to their face. I still wouldn't do it to their face. I was taught not to disrespect my parents. Amen. If I sassed my mother, that was bad enough. But when Dad got home, that was a whole different story. Did your mom say, "Wait till your daddy gets home"? Well, she handled it, and she said, "Wait till your dad gets home." Amen. My wife, God bless her, she's here. We started having kids, and you always got one that's super compliant. You just look at him and they cry. And then if you got more than one, and then you got one that's you know, you're thinking, Bruce Lee couldn't work on this one right here. You know what I mean? It's a tough child. My wife would say, "Hey, you're gonna have to call me." She would come home and get this one. I said, "You done anything about it yet?" She said, "Well, I said, "No, deal with it right now, and then I'll come home and deal with it too." Why? Because my children needed to fear their mother and respect their mother. I don't get this business of a teen boy or a teen girl telling their mommies what they're going to do. Amen. You say, yeah, you're just meddling and going off. I am, but it's okay. When your kids want something, maybe somebody else has it, and they throw a fit because they don't got it, and then you give it to them to pacify that, you have just rewarded disrespect. I see that happen all the time. Oh, listen, that ain't their toy. And if they're throwing a fit, they don't deserve to have it in the first place.
Amen.
Thank you, all four of you. Here, little Johnny's throwing a fit. Give it to him. That's not right to the other sibling. This is great. This is great. Thank you for, please just, you know, praise the Lord. Amen. I want to tell you something. Disrespect, I need to be dealt with. Amen. Pouting?
Amen.
You tell your kid no and they pout? Deal with that. Amen. Well, they stopped doing what I told them to do. Now they got a bad attitude about it. We're going to deal with that one too.
Amen.
He said, we expect my kids to be happy about listening to their parents. I expect them to keep a good attitude about it.
Yep.
Amen. There, we just lost a bunch of you right now. I just lost a ton of you right now because you think it's okay for your kid to pout because they stopped doing what you said to do. No, we're going to go a little bit further than that because we're trying to get to the heart here. So we don't allow pouting in the house.
Amen.
Slamming doors.
Amen.
Stomping through the house.
Amen.
Amen. That's my house. You'll not stomp through it. You say, you are archaic. I don't know about that, but I'm just telling you something. I'm trying to raise children that are a delight and love Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. We allow no disrespect. No disrespect. No mumbling. I don't even ask. You're not even going to need to ask them what they say. It don't matter what they said underneath their breath. You want to mumble something? I'll give you something to mumble about. Amen. I'll deal with it. A child who does not learn to submit and respect authority of their parents will also fail to submit to the authority of God and society.
That's right.
See, let me just say this to you right here. Disrespect. Let me go on to the next one. I can tell I'm losing you here. Disobedience. We spank for disobedience.
Yes, sir.
Novel idea. What is disobedience? When they don't do what you say, when you say how you said for it to be done. That is disobedience.
Amen.
See, you're a tyrant. I'm a parent.
Amen.
If I say, be quiet, and they don't be quiet, that's disobedience.
Amen.
If I say, don't talk, it's not time to talk. We're in the car, and me and mommy are driving, and we and mommy got an invisible windshield here. Y'all, it's like a limo, but you can't talk. You know, whatever. Me and mommy are having a conversation. Don't ask us no questions right now because we ain't talked to each other for all day.
Yeah.
Amen. Y'all talk to each other, but not to us. And that's disobedience. He said, but they wanted to talk to you, but they're not doing it the way I said. Oh, stay here and they don't. Stay right here. Like Mario running off, you know. I see that. I'm going to say, I see that here at this church. I said, stay right here and you can't find them with a search warrant in 3 minutes. Disobedience. Well, this is worse. Are you ready for this? I know I'm just ranting right now. Just give your preacher some love here for a minute, okay? I said stay right here, and they just go stand 10 feet over and look at you.
Oh, yeah.
Disobedience.
Yeah.
Disrespect. See, a child who can't obey their parents cannot obey God.
Amen.
We're going to church now. Now I'm going to meddle in your life. Don't be getting up and going to the bathroom. Y'all just save 3 hours on Minecraft. You can sit through a sermon. You didn't take a potty break during the soccer game or the basketball game or the baseball game. Y'all were able to do that all day long. Now we come down, sit here for a few minutes, and I got to go. No, you don't. You sit there, and they get up and go. That's disobedience and disrespect, too. Disrespecting the preaching. Amen. I'm not talking about emergencies. I'm just simply saying learn to obey. Don't talk. Don't do that. A child who can't obey cannot obey God. You are the first line of a godly authority in their life.
That's right.
The first line. They learn to obey God by obeying you.
Yeah.
Obedience is the key issue of the Christian life. Did you know that?
Yes,
and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken to the fat of rams." I'm trying to teach my children how to obey God. They'll obey God the way that they obey me. Oh, go back to Ephesians. Are you there in Ephesians 6? I was supposed to be preaching out of it. I'm not sure if I'm there yet or not. Ephesians chapter 6. Maybe I didn't have you turn from it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Didn't we just hear that in Deuteronomy? That obedience to God's command will bring it well to you. Or guess where your children learn to obey God? In your home. This is why this is a serious issue. This is why this whole thing of I said to do it, but they didn't do it, but blah, 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 blah. You are not helping your kids. You are hurting them because they got to learn to obey you so they can obey God. Amen. Let me ask you this question. You want your kids obeying God like they obey you? Amen. Do you want that? I want to obey every prompting of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to be sensitive to the will of God so he doesn't have to beg me to do nothing. Where he can just say, this is the way, walk in. And I say, yes, Lord, that's the best way to do it. If you want that for your kids with God, they better do it with you.
Amen.
I know this isn't, hey, this is not popular, but it is the absolute truth.
Yes,
obedience is the key issue of the Christian life. And when your children disobey, that needs to be dealt with immediately.
Amen.
The issues and consequences will be greater when they're older. Okay, maybe they didn't stay where you told them to stay. And that's not that bad. But if the police officer says stay, and they don't, and they run, you don't want to get shot? Do what the authorities say.
Amen.
The authority may be wrong.
Yeah, right.
But you'll be okay because you did what was said.
Amen.
You can deal with that later.
Yes,
amen? We have laws in this country that can deal with wrongful arrest and harassment.
Amen.
We can deal with that. But listen, if you can't learn to don't stay here, but now y'all go down to the railroad tracks and having fun over at the lake or something like that, and somebody go and jump off the edge here because they wouldn't listen to what you said, tell them how to stay here, now that's on you, and you've just messed up something big time.
Amen.
See, obedience is the key issue here. You know why we have so many disobedient adults? Because they never were obedient children. We've not learned to obey God in church because we didn't obey the parents in the home.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. Winning friends and influencing people. I did not read that today. But I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
Number three, disregard. I'll just give you this one real quick. Mean comments, mean-spirited actions, hitting siblings, bullying, etc. like that. That needs to be dealt with.
Yeah.
Amen. I encourage you, go out and listen to your kids play with each other.
Yeah.
I have a little neat thing here. My office is now, I've got the windows right there, and because they're old windows, you can hear the wind blow through them, all right, and hear a cricket chirp. And I listen to kids play with each other out there, and I think, my goodness gracious. I go out there from time to time to make sure that's not one of mine talking like that. They have absolute disregard for other people. That'll be dealt with.
Amen.
Learn how to treat people. You know why adults can't treat each other right? They didn't learn how to treat people when they were kids.
Amen.
Disregard, selfishness. Oh, that was good. Here's the fourth one I forgot, dishonesty. That's got to be dealt with, and that's a spankable offense in this house.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? Please forgive me here. Your kids are liars. They are liars. They are liars before they even know it. Ah! There's nothing wrong with them. They're fed. They're clean. They've had all the naps they could have. They just want to be held. Now, I'm one of those, you watch me. I'll probably have a baby carry preaching with this new baby. Amen. I hold my babies all the time. My wife had to say, you can't hold the baby. I was like, well, it's okay. I was holding her like 18, 19 hours a day. I like to hold my kids. Amen. While I can. I'll be trying to hold them while their legs are dragging the ground. But the bottom line is this. I will. Come here, baby, you know, and whatever. I'll be trying. But I'm going to tell you something. Kids are liars. They're manipulators.
Right. Oh, amen.
Oh, not mine. They done got you. Let me give you an example. You tell your kid no. They throw a fit. You go over to them. They act like they're tired.
Yeah.
And they put their head down. And then you go put them out on the playground, and they got a energy for 6 years.
Amen.
You're just tired. Now you're okay. Why? They lied. Dishonesty.
Amen.
Dishonesty. Now let me just give you this one here. You say, if I spank for disobedience, disrespect, disregard, and dishonesty, I'd be spanking them all the time. No, you won't. You'll deal with it for about 3 weeks, and then it'll be few and far between in between that one right there. You'll get that thing turned around real quick, fast, and in a hurry. Because they will understand, oh, wait a minute, I just disrespected. If they get all four, that's a double whammy. Praise God, all right? And you figure out, let God give you wisdom on that one right there and how and when and how much you should do it. But the bottom line is this, you won't have to be spanking your kids all the time. You have to be doing it for the first 3 days. Some of y'all right now, your kids will be shocked first time they get one. Ah! Is that physical punishment? Let me go try this again. And in a few weeks, you could change that child's behavior and attitude through correct discipline.
Amen.
Kids need, crave, and enjoy structure, believe it or not.
Amen.
You'd be amazed how quickly things turn around. Now I'm going to close with these things right here. Because I'm going to get to that third tenet next week, and I've already labored so much. I want to give you four things here, four more things, all right? Let me give you four huge no-nos of discipline. Are y'all okay with me?
Yeah.
Don't do this. Reasoning. What were you feeling when you poked your sister in the eye? Who cares? They did it. You don't negotiate with terrorists, and you don't reason with children. They don't have the ability to reason because they haven't learned discipline yet.
Amen.
Reason says, if I do this, this is going to hurt. Therefore, I reason, I shall not do it.
Amen.
Not, oh, let me tell you, do you know how that made mommy feel? You made your teddy bear sad. You made your teddy bear sad. It don't matter if you made your teddy bear. How your stuff like that? Made your teddy bear. You don't want the puppy to cry, do you? And that puppy's over there well trained. People do that kind of stuff. I see it happen. Reasoning. Now, Junior, how do you think that made somebody? You can deal with that in a minute. But when they're two, they can't reason. When they're three, they can't reason. And God, help me, I love you all. But when they're 16, many a times they can't reason. Don't reason with your kids. This is the law. This is what God says. Don't do it. Everybody obey. It'll be a great time. We'll have the most joyful experience in the world. It will be the happiest place on earth. Happier than Disneyland. Amen. Be much happier than that. A lot more righteous. It'll be all these different things. But do not reason. That comes into play a little bit later. Amen. They're two. You want to reason with them. Now, how do you think the store owner felt when you threw a fit? Who cares what the store owner felt? I hear people do that kind of stuff. How do you think that? How do you think that made them feel? Well, I don't know how that made them feel, but I know how I'm going to make them feel. I'm not going to do it. Reasoning. Don't do that. Bribing, number two. Bribing. Bribing is rewarding an evil heart. You are rewarding evil actions. If you don't do this, if you stop, I'll give you a cookie. I'll give you this. Hey, if you stop this, I'll take you tomorrow. No. You stop now. I'll take you to the car. I'll you, but good beer. I'm not, all right now, don't tear up here. Don't tear up. Have, you know, songs in it by then. How about this one? You better eat all that food or you'll never eat again. Unrealistic threatening. If you don't do that, I'll leave you right here. You at the Grand Canyon. You're not going to leave them right there. You're not going to leave them at Great America. You're not going to leave them at the park for some stranger to come get that. Your kids know that, and you know that. You're now lying.
Amen.
Unrealistic threatening.
Amen.
If you do that again, I'll yank your arm off. No, you won't. You best not. Unrealistic threatening. Bad. Don't do it. Let me give you another one. Excuses. Excusing behavior. They're tired. My kids are tired. Put them to bed.
Amen.
It's amazing what we can drag them around to. They're tired. They have allergies. What does that have to do with obedience? They slap somebody. What's wrong with them? They're allergic to milk. No, they're allergic to discipline. Amen. I'm going to say this one. They got ADD. Everybody's got ADD now. That's relatively new. That's pretty new. And it's very, very American. Did you know that? It's very American. You know what ADD stands for? Adult Discipline Deficiency. There are learning disabilities. There are things. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is excusing bad behavior because you gave them too much sugar. Never told them how to act, sit, straight, or walk, or anything like that and respond to behavior. And now they got ADD. No, they don't. They got bad behavior, and they need to be corrected. Oh, that's great. You say, I might split the church over that. I guess. I don't know. Need more seating anyway. I guess that's the way to get it. I don't know. I don't want that to happen, but excuses. That just don't work on my kid. No, you didn't do it soon enough, and you didn't do it right enough. But that'll work on your kid. My child just don't respond to that. Maybe they're not responding because you're not doing it right. Four huge no-nos of discipline. Reasoning, bribing, unrealistic, threatening, and excuses. Now, let me give you this and we're done. Are y'all okay with me? Are we still friends? Amen. Let me give you four keys to discipline. You might want to write these down. One, consistency. For each kid, it's got to be the same. Same rules for everybody. Well, you know, they're a little more active, so they don't have to obey like everybody else does. You are now provoking wrath in your obedient child because somebody else is getting away with it. Every child, every rule, every time. It can't be wrong on Monday and okay on Tuesday. And it can't never be wrong until you get fed up with it and then you beat the mess out of them over it. You never have no problem with it until it's embarrassing to you. And then now you got to deal with it. That is not discipline. So it's got to be consistent. It's consistent. Hey, this is what it is. Kids love consistency. I can tell you in over 20 years of ministry with children, the things that children crave the most is consistency. Amen. Number two, clarity. What is the offense and what am I getting punished for? They need to know that. Yeah. I sit down with my children. Do you know why we're here today? Take the deposition. Amen. I give them the deposition. Do you know why we're here? What did you do? Well, I did that. Okay. And what did Daddy say and Mama say when you do that, what's going to happen? I get a spanking. We get clarity on it. If your kid don't know what they're getting spanked for, you're going to provoke wrath.
That's right.
They just think you're mad. Amen. Let's have some clarity here. You threw a rock through the window. But you never said not to do that. Did I ever tell you to take care of our property? Did I ever train you? And I'm going to get to that next week. Training. Amen. Training. Training's the other part of parenting, and I don't have to. But you got to get these two right before you get to that one. Amen. Clarity. Why, when, and how. Are y'all with me this evening? This morning? You'll still be with me this evening when I get done. Amen. Consistency. Clarity. Here's a third one. Confirmation. I just have to run through this. I'm spanking you because I love you too much to let you be a liar. I am confirming my love to them while I'm doing it. I don't hate you. In fact, I'm spanking you because I love you. I love you too much to let you someday. I told one of my children this. They had the boys had a little bit of a tussle. All right, I'm talking about, you know, getting at it. Well, you say, does that happen with the girls? No, I trained my boy. Now, they wrestle with their sister. She's tough, by the way. All right, she can handle them, quite frankly. All right, right now she can. So they play and have a good time, a little roughhousing. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I want my young lady, I want her to know how to act like a lady, and I want her to know how to fight like a man. Amen. I mean, I do. All right. I want my young, amen. All right. Amen. I'm not always going to be there to thump somebody. So anyway, I want her to know how to do it. But I'm going to tell you something. They do not hit their sister out of anger. They've been trained to do that one. Anyway, I'll get on that a little bit later. But I give some confirmation. I love you too much to let you fight like this because you might be a fighter someday, and you might end up hurting somebody, and you might go to jail over that, or you might kill somebody. Or worse yet, you might, because somebody's always bigger than you, you might get in a fight with somebody, think you got it, and now they're going to take you out, and then daddy ain't going to have a little boy no more. So I have to spank you now so we don't go further down the road.
Amen.
I give them, and I love you too much to let you become that.
Amen.
Confirmation. Not just. And then I love this last one. Closure.
Amen.
Don't hold grudges with your kids.
Amen.
This is the great thing right now with discipline. You do it right now. You handle it right then. You handle it right there. And then after there's some repentance and some crying, there's some snuggling and some hugging. And I love you. And daddy loves you. Now, in just a minute, now we're not going to go down to the ice cream store right now. That's not the time to do that. You're undoing what you just did right now. But let me snuggle on you a little bit. Let's go and have a little glass of lemonade and talk a little bit. You want to go outside and play some hoops right now? hey, that Lego thing that you got, when you get ready, when you get them tears wiped off, you call me and I'll come play with you. I got some closure. I'm not holding grudges against my kids.
Amen.
I'm not going to pout on them. Who's the adult in this house?
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, and then your kids got to go stay over in a closet because you're still steaming about it? Give them some closure and move on.
Yeah.
See, people who don't get closure become adults who can't do closure. That's why they hold grudges for the rest of their lives.
Right.
Hello? I'm going to give them that closure. We dealt with it. Daddy's okay. Daddy loves you. And let's do the best we can. Let's pray together. Let's get on our knees and pray before God that you don't repeat this behavior no more. And let's just move on. And then everything is all right when we come out of there.
Amen.
Closure. Some kids never get closure from their parents. They always thought their parents was mad at them.
That's
because
right.
Nothing was ever communicated.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. You say, I'm just going to nurture them to obedience. I'm going to make these closing statements. I know I've been lengthy, but it's okay. We need this. I'm going to nurture them to obedience. I guess you're capable of doing something that God's not. Because even God has to chasten those whom he loves.
Amen.
I'm just going to nurture them to obedience and everything. You got to admonish them to obedience.
Amen.
See, the whole point of child rearing is simply this, teaching your kids how to respond to God.
Amen.
In that passage, the Bible says, when God chastens and disciplines you, don't hang your hands, don't hang your face. You receive the correction of the Lord the right way. But you know, you won't be able to do that as an adult if you don't ever do it as a kid.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I can tell I didn't make a lot of friends today. I'm good. Good thing we were friends before. Amen. Let me say this. Your success and obedience in nurture and admonition will determine your ability to take the next step. You will not be able, which is direction. You will not be able to give your kids direction if you don't nurture and admonish them.
Amen.
And we'll deal with that next Sunday morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause the heart to tremble, remember there will only bring a smile. This weary world with all its toil and struggle may take its toll of misery and strife. Spirit of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the sky. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy let's carry on. Until the day my eyes behold King Jesus. Until the day God calls me home. Until the day.
Amen.